Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Welcome to Smell You Later.
You just really went in dry with that one. Welcome back to Smell You Later, your favorite podcast that never knows when it's starting.
It's perhaps never ending, so.
by the looks of it.
Yep. Lord, I feel like so we're recording this hot on the release of the Glossier fragrances. And I think it's so funny how the food at the party is having its cut essay moment.
Is it?
Everyone's freaking out about the pictures they've seen of the food at the party. They're like, what is this?
It was, that's the point, right? Like, you don't go to a Glossier party to eat. You go to be haunted by it.
To me, I was just like, whatever. This is like an art installation. But there were goat cheese balls. There were bruleed plums, which, those were actually pretty good.
Something about those plums did not sit right with me.
It didn't look appetizing. It was just like on a table.
I don't want to be nasty, but it looked like something that I can't say. Also, they just weren't good. And I love a plum, girl.
You know.
Then what were those? Okay, wait. Here's the thing.
You wait.
Was that?
I don't know. It was like a mochi, some sort of mochi wrapped in a shiso leaf. But I picked it up and I brought it to my mouth and it was like wet. And I was like, no. Mm-hmm. And then I immediately set it down.
It wasn't wet. It was shiny.
Yeah.
Because when I think of mochi, I think of sort of like a matte finish.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
This is a fascinating conversation. Yeah. But it was like glossy. It was it was like a vinegar ball in rice dough and the shiso.
I did not taste it. You took that one with the team.
So it wasn't bad, but obviously they weren't labeling the food. It wasn't like a wedding reception buffet vibe. So I just popped it into my mouth. And had you told me it was vinegar flavored mochi, I'd be like, word, and I would have still eaten it, but I would have just been briefed. I was like, what is in my mouth right now? What is going on? Yeah, the Glossier event was lovely. I think I can't decide if they wanted it to be like Eyes Wide Shut vibes or not.
I think a little bit.
A little bit, yeah. It was just kooky enough.
I got there. You took the ferry. They like got everyone there because it took place in a warehouse like on a pier in Long Island City. You took the ferry. I took an Uber, so I came like a side entrance. And as I was coming in, a bunch of editors we know were leaving. And then Catherine Howe from Elle, she just like, the only thing she says to me, she goes, those balls over there are goat cheese. That's a warning as she's leaving.
That's hysterical.
Like, you know what I'm here for, girl. And it's the food. It was an adventure. But yeah, it was really funny to see the commentary about
that. I did take the ferry from Lower East Side of Manhattan.
Was it Midtown or was it South Street Seaport?
It was South Street, yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, so very, very south. And, thank you to Glossier for having us. Congrats on the new fragrances. I'm not sure. I think we all thought the ferry was like leading to something. Yeah. And it was a cool way to pull up. Don't get me wrong. But I don't know. But I will say that the sun had just gone down and zooming up to LAC from South Manhattan, it was pretty cool.
I love the ferry. I love an excuse to take the ferry. I just didn't rally in time to catch it. That's the honest truth is I just didn't rally in time to catch it.
It would have probably been more work for you to get on in Williamsburg and then get off in LAC.
Yeah, totally. But it makes sense because the warehouse was literally on the pier that I'm like, this is the easiest way to get the most amount of people to this event directly. So I get it. What an event.
It was cool. I was happy to be there.
Yeah. The next night after that, my boyfriend was like, hey, do you want to come to dinner at this restaurant and this bar? This potential client owns the restaurants and he's opening another one. And he invited me. And it was a restaurant in a hotel, in the James Hotel.
Which one of the James?
The restaurant is called Scarpetta.
You went to Scarpetta?
Is that a thing?
Yes,
I don't know
how to go around.
Okay.
Jesus.
The restrooms were in the hotel, so you have to find it. And it's like a weird little labyrinth. I get to the bathroom and there's a woman at the sinks just touching up her makeup and whatever. I pee, I come back to wash my hands, and then the entire sink just smells like a perfume. And I was like, I know what this is. I know what this is. What is she wearing? So I was just like, excuse me, what's your perfume? It smells so nice. And then she was like, oh my God, girl, it's this. And it was Creed Queen of Silk, one of their new releases. And I remember—
I thought it was new.
Yeah, I remember they had sent me a little sample vial a couple months ago. And of course I was like, now I want it because I've smelled it in the wild and it smells amazing.
Yeah.
It was— she had a 1 ounce bottle and she was spraying it and it was literally down to the bottom.
Oh.
And she was like, yeah, girl, I love it so much. And like, it's down to the water. And I was like, please don't waste your little last wisps of this on me. Like,
I love your yeah, girl moment in a Scarpetta restroom.
I was just asking a question. I'm like, what's your perfume? And smells nice. Great. Thank you. And she just like, kept going on and on about it. And I was like, okay, my hands are washed. My hands are dried. I wish to get here into my feet. Please release me from this conversation. But thank you so much.
That's so funny.
But now I was like, okay, I need to get my hands on a decant of that or something.
Did you get the invite to the Creed one today?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
It's just go there, smell it. Yeah. I think when they have events, they will give people full sizes usually. But that's now on my radar.
Oh, wait. I literally stumbled into a fragrance situation this week. And we were down, picture this. We were down in Red Hook to go to a concert and we made a day of it because Red Hook is a billion miles away. And we were walking around and you know that brand Apotec?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They have a situation down there. I guess it's retail and it's really beautiful, but also you can, from the looks of it, create your own candle.
Oh.
They had this like cool circular bar and it was like packed full. I mean, packed, like every seat was taken. And I think it was a whole party. It was like eight people that were making me just giving this brand free promo, making their own like candles all together on a Saturday afternoon. It was so cool. I was like, why have I never talked to you people before? The brand, not the actual civilians.
I feel like they're in our inboxes.
No. Oh, I think they were.
Yeah.
But I think
not
we didn't
for the show necessarily. I think just for their regular press releases.
They have this new scent called, I don't know what it's called. It had cardamom in the name. And it smells, I'm going to say just like, if not very similar to cardamom coffee from Otherland.
Ooh,
which,
that's a good line.
Which, that's a whole other conversation. What the fuck happened to Otherland?
I don't hear about them anymore.
They don't hear about them anymore. I don't know. They had that like merger or they got bought and like never did anything again. I'm like, isn't the point of getting bought to do more? Anyway.
I think the point of getting bought is to sell your company and roll.
Fair. I miss them. Come back to us, Otherland. But yeah, we should investigate what the hell's going on with Apotec and Red Hook.
Yeah. I see their candles at Beam.
Beam. Yeah.
I used to have one of those Pura devices. It's one of those Wi-Fi controlled home.
Oh, yeah.
Enter things and you put the little cartridges in and then you can like on your phone program when it spits out the scent. And Apotec had a bunch of their scents. Ooh, should we talk about the Suling Your event we went to?
Should we talk about the Substance?
Oh my God, yes.
Okay, wait. We met Troy Sivan one thing at a time. Stell was very kind to invite us as well as Emma Vernon, our friend from Perfume Room, and Alex from High Snob, which we really only like rest there.
So funny that I was like, us four? Okay, cool.
Yeah, I know. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks for recognizing a podcast for once. Not Stell, but just in general. Yeah, and it was, it was like a brand party. It wasn't even like an event.
It was just, okay, it was, in my perception, it was just like my event at Stell for the Die Hot with a Vengeance scent.
Format-wise, yeah.
Yeah, except Joey, my perfumer, and also the perfumer for Suling Your's newest scent, Sala. He was there doing a demo about the scent makeup of Sala. And I was not expecting this at all. Troy Sivan was there as well.
I told you he was coming.
I was like, there's no way. There's no way. He's not coming to this like little perfume boutique in Williams.
I agree with you, but I was like, did you read the email? They said every nefarious, menacing thing about, ooh, the guest list will have security. We don't want it to get my. I'm like, that man will be there.
Okay. I guess it just didn't occur to me until we met up with Emma at a bar nearby just to hang and key for a bit before the event and catch up. And then even she was like, I think Troy Sivan's going to be there. I think Charlie XCX might be there. And I was like, Troy might be there. Charlie XCX will not be there.
Even I was like, I got to draw the line somewhere. But
She's asleep right now.
Yeah, it's 7 p.m. She's asleep.
She's taking a disco nap.
She hasn't woken up from the tour.
Yeah. But yeah, it was honestly surprisingly chill.
Yeah.
Like, celeb sighting notwithstanding, I was very surprised. It was full, but it wasn't so full that people were knocking things off shelves and, like, bumping into each other. It was just very well attended.
I really just think it was mostly his team.
Yeah.
And, like, this, yeah. And, like, us four were the only people Stell got to invite. Shout out to them. It wasn't odd. It was cool. But I was just like, who is this? I think it was just a brand party. You know what I mean? Like a holiday party with four random people.
Totally. Because Stell is apparently the only New York stockist of Sui.
Yeah. No, the only stockist, period.
Wait, in the U.S.?
Oh, wait. I may have lied. Yeah, yeah. The only one in the U.S.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Wow. What a good get.
I know. Seriously.
Yeah. I want to know everything about their custom caps. We talked to their creative director, Steele. Steele is the name of the creative director of Sui Lingyor. I know. It's confusing. Steele, Stell. But I don't know. We emailed him to be on the podcast. We'll see what they say.
Please bully Troye Sivan on the internet into coming onto our show. I say it's okay.
It was the Sunday night, the night before the Madison Square Garden show for the Sweat Tour. So Troye made an appearance and he left at 8:30 and was like, thank you so much for coming. I have to go to sleep and wake up really early tomorrow for that. Which I'm also like, what? Like, how early do you have to wake up? The show's at night. Like, what is your call time? I'm really curious how that works.
I was dying because I think Joey, if I'm remembering events correctly, Joey introduced Sable to Troye.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they're all going over and Sable is talking to Troye about her scent, Die Hot with a Vengeance, in stores now, along with the book. And I was just like, what the fuck is happening? I was just like, oh.
Maybe bump it. Yeah, I met, what is his name?
Leland,
who is, I guess, Troye's co-songwriter, and he writes a bunch of the other pop girly hits. I have no idea who he is. I was just like, so you work with the brand?
I was like, Sable, that's like, Leland.
And I was like, yeah, I know he said that, but it was I never knew.
I bet he appreciated that, though. You know what I mean?
He's very nice. He's great. He was great to chat to. But that show looked wild.
The tour does look incredible.
Yeah, it looks really fun.
MSG is like the biggest venue I can do, but I would do it for the Sweat Tour.
I loved seeing the show on every beauty editor's Instagram story thanking a brand.
And now same thing with Sabrina. Like every beauty editor was at Sabrina Carpenter last night. And that show looks so cute.
Wait, where was that? I didn't see that yet.
MSG.
Of course.
Yeah.
You know what? That's fine. We have been privileged to be invited to these shows before, where we went to see Billie Eilish at Madison Square with Mugler. And dude, that ruined me. I can't go to MSG in any other way but in a private box with an all-you-can-eat buffet. Ruined.
Mm-hmm. Ruined. You go for the food, I go for the bar. Listen.
Yeah. And I'm nice. Send a show.
Yeah, right. Oh, Billie's here.
Okay. Like, I will brag and say that my boyfriend, who is randomly friends with the bassist and the Breeders, got us guest list for Olivia Rodrigo and the Breeders
that
at
cool.
MSG when that tour was happening, and that was fucking cool.
Yeah.
It wasn't like in a box. You were just like in a section in the crowd, like on the balcony.
So that's so sick though.
It was still fucking sick. Yeah. The Breeders has been one of my favorite bands of all time, and I'm like, I have never seen them play live, mostly because like by the time I found out about them, they're not playing live.
Right.
So it was really cool to see them like on such a huge stage where like the sound was just immaculate.
Yeah.
And obviously Olivia was amazing as well.
More concerts in 2024. Yeah.
More concerts. Have you gotten this?
No. Which one is that?
In my hands is the newest
Angel Flanker,
Angel Phantasm. It's the same star bottle, but it's spray painted ombre black.
Okay.
You see, I'm like, the juice is still blue, but there's like an ombre effect on the bottle. So it looks like a black star.
So what makes Phantasm?
They put coconut and pineapple in it. That's it.
Ooh. Okay.
It is. I did a side by side of the OG Angel and Phantasm. And it smells just like you put on suntan oil and you spilled a pina colada on yourself and then you sprayed Angel on top of that. That is what it smells like to me.
Okay.
Honestly, it does smell very similar to the original with a little hint of pineapple. And like a lot of coconut note.
Yeah.
And I was looking at the Fragrantica comments, which I regret. And everyone was just like, this is just a pina colada. Guys, it's not that crazy. Angel Elixir last year, or perhaps the year previous, says Flanker, was much more like fruit.
Yeah.
But I think it's a little more subtle. But again, it like I sprayed it in my room and it choked me out for 8 hours. I was like, guys.
That's what Angel's for.
I'm getting carsick in my home.
Wait, is that what you smell like today?
No, actually.
Sable, what do you smell like today?
I broke out the murder mystery Dies and Durga set.
Oh, yeah.
I smell like the hay scent and the rose scent together.
Okay.
Newton, I don't remember these guys' names. It's like Professor Rose plus Newton Hay, whatever.
Did we give a rundown of what the...
Yeah. So the I don't know what murder mystery Dies and Durga set, there's six scents, one of which is the I don't know what fragrance enhancer. And the five other scents are like single note accords or single concept accords. There's patchouli, courant, rose, hay, and amber. And you can mix and match them.
And so, they all have a little bit of I don't know what in them as well and different concentrations.
Yeah, I think you're right. So I mixed the hay and the rose. It's so fucking good. It's giving dried rose petals in a barn that are like warmed by the sun.
Mm, I see that.
Yeah. That's such a good hay scent. Ugh. Like just on its own.
The hay, oh my God, I completely agree. The hay is so just warm and sweet to me.
Yes. It has
it's so nice.
Yeah. There's like warm, dry sweetness. There's like just something like pale golden about it. It's so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And even
it's so beautiful. I only worn hay and amber at this point, but I want to wear them all. And I do think that, I'm sorry, I think we have a lag tonight a little bit. I don't mean to cut you off. But I think that hay, I should side by side them actually. I think that hay smells like commodity milk in a good way.
Whoa. That's an
I get a lot of that. I don't, again, I don't think they're a one-to-one by any stretch, but that sweet milkiness from that you get from milk, shout out to repetition. I should side by side them tomorrow.
I think hay is a little sharper. It's like a little bit more bitter. Commodity milk. I think commodity milk, like it's like the sweetness given to the hay. That little creaminess to it. But they overlap. They're a Venn diagram.
I also really appreciate that hay is one of the accords that they use because that's like patchouli, rose, courant. Yeah, I saw those coming from a mile away, respectfully. But hay, I was like, wait a minute. That's pretty abnormal.
Underrated. Yeah. Even the rose I like. I'm not a rose person, but this is such a very, it's like a almost a little bit of a salty rose. There's a minerally quality to it that I find very unique and refreshing.
Okay.
So it's almost like a cold, like a frozen rose.
Ooh, I like that.
I think frozen rose.
A rose-sickle.
A rose. I love that. A rose-sickle. But yeah, I'm excited to try more combos. But that was just I just did that on instinct today.
Nice. I love that.
Tynan, what do you smell like today?
I smell like Parafat, an indie brand out of Chicago, was nice enough to send us a shit ton of fragrances. And today I'm wearing one called Stomped on Bed of Lettuce.
Oh, I like that one.
Yeah, it's, I gotta say, it's as much of a perfume to me as it is a thought experiment because they really nail a sort of like wilted iceberg lettuce scent in a way that I'm like, I don't dislike this. I don't know that I like it, but I really appreciate it because it's pretty weirdly spot on. And and often I feel like when you go really, I wouldn't call this a green fragrance in the way that you think of them. Maybe I would, but not traditionally. They call it a metallic green, which probably is closer than I would have gotten. But oftentimes when you get a real kooky green, it can get really odd on skin. This is odd, but on skin, it's nice. I don't want to smell like this every day, but I'm pretty impressed by it, to be honest. I think it's pretty cool. The notes, if it helps. And honestly, this doesn't help or hurt it because it is more of an idea than a traditional, here are the notes of the fragrance, but it's pink pepper, rhubarb, grapefruit, patchouli, frankincense, civet, oak moss, and salt water. And whatever the hell they did it really nicely, I will say.
Nice. Yeah, I do like that one. I have worn a couple of them on skin. I did like a thing where I just lined up a bunch of blotters and sprayed them on. I like picked out my favorites.
Which one is your favorite?
I really like Amicus Cumulus.
Oh, I have not worn that yet. That's like one of the last ones.
Cloud scent. I'm assuming from the name.
Yeah.
I made that up in my head. Unless it's real, then I didn't. I broke my own heart.
I love my own heart.
Yeah. Love that.
It's a warm, sweet one, right?
Yes.
Or is that I'll never learn? I think it's
I broke my own heart. Yeah. Yeah. 2030 Park Avenue. I also like too.
I like I'll never learn. I'm sorry. I work my own heart and Multiball quite a bit.
Multiball is cute. Yes, for sure. And it's funny. Cupid Doll. I liked that one. And then it took a swerve on me. And I was like, what's happening? Yeah. Same with Bread and Roses.
Yeah.
Which I liked. And then you know how things just turn sour on me? It got really yeasty on me. And I was like, whoa.
It's funny. I put Bread and Roses on. That was the first one I tried. And there I was naked in my restroom and I dropped it.
No.
Shattered all over. Now my restroom smells like Bread and Roses, which is not the worst. However, those little shards of glass are, let me tell you that.
My Lord.
We live to tell. You know what I will say? From a place of honesty and transparency, I have really enjoyed, I think she sent us 10.
Yeah.
And I'm 8 or 9 in right now. I have really enjoyed them all. There's not been one that's repelled me. And if it would have been one, it would have been Bread and Roses. But I'm it's literally called Bread and Roses and that's what it smells like. Get over it.
Yeah,
I will say that these do not last on me. And it bums me out.
They're light.
They are. Yeah. They burn off me. And shit doesn't really do that on me. Mm-hmm. So it's am I the problem? But I don't know. It's odd. And knowing this, I've been really generously spraying. I'm talking 3 hits on each arm, a couple on the chest. I'm going in. And the Multiball and I'll Never Learn or Broke My Heart, whatever the fuck one I like, lasted a little bit longer when I really soaked myself in them. But yeah, I love the scents a lot. I really like the brand. I do wish they had a little bit more longevity to them. But
Yeah, they are light. I just assume that was just the nature of the formula. Certain notes, I think you just can't really hold on to for that long. I don't know. And I think because a lot of these, they're not really on the heavy end of the spectrum. They're pretty light. There's a lot of greens and florals. So I was like, maybe that's just the nature of that scent profile.
$120 though. I'm trying to smell what I paid for. No shade. And listen, we would say this about Burberry. We'd say this about Byredo. I would feel a lot better talking shit about a huge brand like that. But if you are interested in Parify, you should definitely check them out. The scents are
really
exquisite.
Interesting scents.
Really interesting.
Yeah, I don't think I've smelled any collection like this.
Oh, no.
Yeah. The names are really fun. Yeah. I think the name corresponding to the scent will probably surprise most people in a delightful way, not in...
Totally. And to be clear, I think they're all pretty unique, but some of them are more classic and traditional. I guess what I'm trying to say is that they don't all smell like lettuce. If that scared you off, don't let it, because it would have scared me off, frankly. But there's a lot of more conventional fragrances that I enjoy just as much. So shout out to them.
Yeah, they're all fun.
They're not going to come on the show now that I talk shit about their bottles and the wear. Can't ever say I wasn't honest.
We support regardless.
We do.
Speaking of Chicago-based scents.
Yes.
We have a Chicago-based brand on this episode, Bianco Profumo. Learned about this brand a few weeks ago when we were visiting Carlos Huber of Arkeist. And Carlos was, the consultant?
They said consultant, yeah.
Yeah, consultant of this brand. It's a father-son duo from Chicago. Mark and Nick, father-son duo of Bianco Profumo. Okay, we were at Carlos's smelling stuff. I see this bottle... Sorry, drop one. That's clearly not an Arky scent, but it has this very eye-catching label. Mm-hmm. And it says cherry leather. So to me, I'm ding, keywords. Grab the bottle, smell it when Carlos isn't looking. And this. What is this? This is the one.
Yeah.
This is so cool. And Carlos is just very nonchalant. Oh, yeah, that's just a new brand that I consulted on, whatever. And I was tell me everything.
Yeah. Seeing you see cherry leather and then... go through that. What I was there she is.
Yeah, I was hooked. I was okay, that's in the vault. Gonna come back. I'm gonna revisit that later, respectfully.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we just followed up with them. I feel like I just followed them with the Smelly Later account. They followed us back. And then, like, happenstance, we just got an email from their marketing or press person. And I was like, yes, please send me these fragrances. Please, can we have them on the pod? And timing just worked out. So I'm very excited to have this chat with them.
Same, same. I was really thrilled to get our hands on their current trio of scents. I, like you, love Cherry Leather. Remix is great. Neroli Pomodoro is also fantastic. I think they are three really... Totally, yeah. I think they're three really unique and special scents in the space right now, which is hard to sort of land when there is so much of everything, which is just as exciting as it can be exhausting at points. But each time I wore one of these, I was like, all right, they feel like a new idea, I think is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, they feel like a fresh, it's like a really fresh take on a nostalgic concept.
But the nostalgia isn't, what am I trying to say, performed? Or
it's not it's not like a performative created nostalgia. It's like a very specific nostalgia for their family and their community. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The places they grew up. But it's, I think because the brand is so 80s and 90s inspired, automatically your brain reaches towards nostalgia. But at the same time, no, this is during that era, what was really cool to us.
And then how can we put a contemporary spin on that thing?
Total.
I think we should jump in.
We should jump in. No.
Okay.
I'm Mark Holmes Bianco, the father of the duo. And I'm currently in sales. I'm VP of sales for an Italian food company.
So he's in charge of slinging the product out.
Yeah.
I'm Nick, and I am the creative director and person who makes things look nice.
Amazing.
That's just how I describe the job. I just make things nice. That's all I got to do.
And make it nice.
And what do you both smell like today?
Well,
what are you wearing?
I'm wearing Cherry Leather, which is my favorite. I love it. It's just, to me, it's just, it feels like me when
it's
I wear it. Yeah.
It's definitely him. I'm wearing the yet to be released Cafe Amaro.
Oh.
Ooh.
Oh my God.
Doing a little test run.
Coffee scents. I'm so excited for that.
It's not a full on coffee scent. There's a hint of espresso in there, but it's an interesting mix.
Yeah. You know what Amaro?
How would you do an Amaro scent? Do you want to explain what they are first in case someone doesn't know it then? Yeah.
Yeah. And Amaro is an Italian digestivo drink. It's usually made from different herbs and roots that's very territorial or per region within Italy. Yeah. If you're from the north, there's different brands like Ramazzotti is really big. Fernand Blanc, those came from there. And being we're Sicilian. So, you know, there's
rooty, herbal.
Rooty and herbal.
So there's like a bitterness to it. So we have this scent crafted. It's got all these herbal notes. There's like a parsley accord. There's wormwood, mandarin. And we got this little bit of espresso note in there with hazelnuts.
Ooh.
It's an interesting mix. So I've been wearing it more. We just got a fresh batch that we're going to start like reviewing to people. It'll be a release for next fall.
That sounds incredible.
That sounds so
Definitely a heavier fragrance for the winter months. Yeah, it's an interesting.
I'm giving it a test run today.
Yeah. I'm curious to see the feedback. And that's why we're going to send out some samples to people just to get their feedback.
We'll get you guys.
Yeah, we'll get you
Well, if you have room on your list.
No, we actually have two. We have our Aqua Gardenia scent coming out in early spring.
We'll
get you guys those to check out.
Oh my God.
When I was bartending, I became very familiar with Fernet. So I definitely understand all of that. And I also always wondered how it would fare if ever interpreted into a fragrance, because it is such a, like you said, earthy, spicy, rooty situation. Yeah. I think like all the elements are there for it.
Yeah, it's very different. I'm pretty excited for it at this point. I've been wearing it for a while now. I went back and forth on it because it was so different. It was actually unexpected.
Yeah.
Carlos and Christine worked their magic on it and pulled my ideas in a few different directions, and it came out really cool. So
Fernet always reminds me, there is this one, I don't know what it's called, some Chinese herbal medicine that must share a common ingredient with Fernet, like a root, because it tastes identical. And like the first time I had Fernet, I was like, this is medicine. What are you?
It really is. In Italy, that's how it's how they view it. After dinner, you have some, so it helps settle your stomach. And every region has their own recipe, so to speak. So it's very interesting. And I'm interested to see the response from people, because it's definitely different. Just our neroli is completely, it's a different type of neroli pomodoro. And it's very unique. I'd even say cherry leather. I think we're unique individuals. So I think our fragrances marry up to that. When Nick came up with this idea on the brainchild, I started doing a lot of different research into my pitch man over here.
Yeah,
it was just very interesting how it all started to evolve. And the reality is, and we were just talking about this about a week ago, the three fragrances, soon to be five, but each one is like a component of one of us or both of us.
Yeah.
Because the remix really you lean into, that's really your vibe. That's scent profile.
Yeah.
And it's great. And it's fresh. It's great. I lean more towards the darker, heavier fragrances and the ones that are a little bit more pronounced. So they get there before you do. That's the Italian thing where, you know, you guys being in Brooklyn, if you go to Bay Ridge, you go to Bentley, or Howard's Beach. So you get it. At least cherry leather is not as long. It's toned down a little bit. It's not as aggressive, but it's still, it's good. So they're all tenable. So
that's actually a great segue into, we love to ask this of people, especially people who are like newer founders of fragrance brands. What were your experiences with scent growing up? What types of fragrances or just scents in general really imprinted upon you when you were young?
I can't remember. but when I was growing up, there was Pierre Cardin, Aramid, which my uncle wore, and I was very close to him. So that's what I always remembered. And a lot of the guys in the neighborhood, the older guys all wore Aramis. And then us younger guys was Polo, Pierre Cardin was big, Drakkar was starting was just coming out.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a long time ago, back in the 80s, late 70s. Another big one that we used to wear, Fahrenheit, I really liked. I still do. I still like Fahrenheit. To me, it's a great everyday fragrance. Man, I can't think of it right now. It'll come to me in 10 minutes and I'll blurt it out. So feel free to cut that back in.
That's fine. We'll splice it right back in.
Yeah, there's a lot. And I piggybacked off him growing up. My brother and I weren't sheltered children in any way. So we were brought to every party and establishment that you could think of. There's a 5-year-old chilling in the bar with my parents and their friends. We're hanging out. So everybody had their colognes, and growing up throughout the 90s, it was CK1, Kerr, Acqua di Gio, all those. So it's just like the classic ones that a lot of people still reference now. Those were always my references because they were just so big back then. I remember
the
cultural impact of all those. And especially being a kid, you can notice it more.
Yeah.
Because, who at school is wearing this one and stuff like that. Right. And now the younger generations, it's like really a thing. They're dropping $300 on a bottle. Not that
it is crazy.
Yeah. I see that so reflected in Remix. That's I'm like, what a classic 90s aquatic fresh scent. I was like, really nailed that.
Yeah. The CK1 vibe was really the target with that one, and bringing in just the flavor that I kind of work into my remixes too. So it's just I brought it all together, and that's really what it is. I draw a lot of inspiration from the 80s and 90s, and that's where this wound up.
And if you hear his music remixes, you could see, get that vibe.
Yeah.
The CD that it came with was really cute. That was such a cool idea.
I love it.
Oh, good. I forgot if I sent it or not, but
Speaking of the 80s and 90s, when you look at the collection, visually, at least right now, I don't know what's coming next, but it looks very aesthetically 80s, early 90s, not only with Remix, but with Cherry Leather, all of them. So can you talk a little bit about that? Because it seems very intentional and very pronounced.
Yeah, that's always, anytime I'm designing anything for myself, that's where I naturally go back to. And I grew up with it, so it's familiar, it's fun. And I think there's a lot of, just from a brand perspective, there's a lot of brands that don't have enough fun with themselves. They take themselves a little too seriously. So
yeah,
really wanted to play it up. I'm like, I've gotten so many design jobs and opportunities with music and just graphic design work from the artwork that I do for my music. So it was the natural place for me to pull the ideas from, to put on these bottles and the boxes. And being that my background is in, most of my design career has been like food packaging. So I'm used to designing something that is meant to be seen on a shelf from 6 to 10 feet away. So that's where those bright colors come in, and the bold fonts and just the checker pattern. Every little aspect and little trick I've learned here and there, and just put all into one package and had some fun with it. Even though it's fun, I still like things to have a professional polish to it. I look at certain brands, like Carlos is our developer and his brand is amazing. I look at his products are like a classical piece of music.
Yeah, exquisite.
They're absolutely amazing. Yes. And I look at our stuff as it's the pop song. It's what's Max Martin putting out next. There's a smash hit in the classical world, and then there's a smash hit on the Billboard charts. And it's two different worlds. But even though they have a different feel, there's that same amount of quality. I wanted to have that quality put into it, not just, oh, it's fun. Here's a cheap $40 product to throw away.
Right.
And in addition to that, because of your background with graphic design and retail packaging, the nice thing is you put us in a store, we're on a shelf, we stand out against everybody. And people walk by, it just grabs you, brings you over to say, smell me. You can't just walk by it and just keep walking.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe that was me grabbing them, bringing them in.
But because the packaging is so visually interesting and different than what's on the shelf. That was obviously very intentional. But
even though it's a rectangular box.
Yeah.
I was like, it's going to be a plain rectangle. People can throw it away after they open it. But what can we do with a rectangle and make it pop?
The thing that was very purposeful was, we had to have great components coming together. You had to have great packaging. You have to also then have exceptional product in the bottle. You can't just put lipstick on a pig and try to sell it. It's not us. It has to be, you know, if we want to do something cheap, then it's going to look cheap. And we don't care. This is different. This was very purposeful. And thank God for Christine and Carlos, because they guided us, and it was great what they came up with. Nick put together a great pitch book. We really were starting with two fragrances, and Nick created this whole layout and like a formal presentation. And Carlos was like, oh my gosh, I've never had anything like this given to me before. And knew exactly like, where am I supposed to go with this? Because he was very detailed. It's really great.
I thought it was normal coming from the design world. I'm like, yeah, you put together a presentation. It's got to look right. Like, you know what you're doing, even if you don't. Yeah. So it was
really cool.
It was good. And then out of the two came five.
That's so funny, because Carlos is actually the one who introduced us to your scents. We visited him at his apartment a couple of weeks ago, and he was showing us his new collection. And then he had, I think, all three of the Bianca Perfumo scents on the table. And I was like, clearly this is yours, but what? He was like very casual and cool about it. He's like, oh, this is just a new brand that I consulted on. And then I'm like, these are really fucking good. What? Mm-hmm. Tell me everything.
We're just his loud, younger, annoying cousin. Yeah. That's really what it is.
I really fell for cherry leather. I'm a sucker for both cherry and leather notes. So I was like, wow, two of my favorite things in one. This has got to be.
Yeah.
And then, like, knowing that Carlos was involved and Christine, I was like, okay, obviously these are all going to be exquisite, and they are.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Christine was like, okay. I mean, they put up with a lot for me, because I'm used to like a million changes when it comes to editing a design. I didn't know that was not really how it works in the perfume world so much. Bless them for being so patient with me. But I mean, they knocked it out of the park, and some of the stuff, I came ready with a bunch of notes ready to go. And Carlos, when we first talked with him, he was like, he was pulling us in all these different directions. He was like, well, you could take this section of the notes that you gave us and spin it off this way and do this and do that. So he really opened up the door where, like, we started with just two and it became five, because everything that they gave us was so good. We're like, let's just get them all.
Yeah. But he's so creative and Nick's so creative. It was like all of a sudden all these different thoughts started coming up, and you could do this. And out of the two became five. It was amazing. And of course, Christine did a great job, and I'm just the one that's just here for the ride. I have no creativity, but it's good. It's good. We're very blessed to have them with us, and it's opened up. We feel we have all the components to really continue to keep growing, but it's also opened up some doors. So like now we're in Oswald's in New York. So I'm trying to get in a few other stores. So we're really familiar with the brick and mortar.
Yeah,
and that side of the business, because that's where we're at for everyday life. For work, actually. So I'd like to try to do more of the brick and mortar. Online, it's fun. To me, this is the fun stuff, what we're doing today. This is great. And you get to meet so many cool and different people. It's fun. It really is.
It definitely connects you to other people in a way that you would never have met before. Fragrance has opened the doors for us in so many ways. But I think the community that we have built and also been blessed to like be a part of and welcomed into is by far the best.
Yep. Yeah. It's fun.
So wait, take us back then. Where did the idea for Bianco come from? And when did it happen? And then how did it lead you to Carlos and Christine?
We should probably talk about that. Yeah. So it was like late 2021, I think it was. Yeah, it was late 2021. And my design work was slow. Everybody was kind of hanging back, not really doing much. So I was looking for something different to do. And my dad and I have been kicking around the idea of, what can we do together? Is it something with the food industry because that's all we've been doing. We worked together for 12 years at Recanto Foods. So it was, we already know how to work together. It's natural. So we were talking about, do we do a pasta line? Do we do olive oil? There are all these different ideas. That stuff we already know. And we have producers and people that we could contact. So that would have been an easier first step, I would think. But I had come across, I was working on these different, I downloaded a bunch of 3D mockups, and it was for like coffee bags, pizza boxes, pasta bags, cereal boxes, anything that you could throw a design on. Mm-hmm. And I was like, let me just see what I could come up with just for the hell of it, playing around. And I had downloaded a fragrance bottle. I had started mocking up a few different designs, and next thing it's 3:30 in the morning. There's 15 different ideas going on, and I was just, I had them all lined up next to each other on the screen. And I was like, wow, this is, it might actually be something. So I showed it to my dad. I'm like, what if we did this? Do you think that we could actually, how does this look? What if we just jump ship from the food industry, so to speak, and just try something different? We've always liked fragrance. So let's try it. So he was looking around for perfumers and supply houses and who could help us out between packaging and everything else. And I was digging around, and we contacted a few people, but it was a little sketchy. Seemed a little not right. Yeah. And I was like, why don't I just look and see who worked with Vacation? I like everything that Vacation does. They got the whole 80s thing going.
Yeah.
Right up my alley. I'm like, I like how they do their marketing. That would make sense. So I just went on Vacation's website, and I'm like, oh, Carlos, let's contact him. And then I put together a whole pitch deck and sent it to him. And
yeah, luckily they agreed.
Yeah. He was like, I believe in these two crazy people.
Yeah. He's the man. I was going to say, when he was attached to it, I was like, okay, this is serious. This is.
It gives us instant credibility.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And we found it interesting how many people are like, oh yeah, Carlos is the best. Yeah. Everybody ends up knowing him.
Yeah.
Anybody we talk to, they all know him. I'm like, this guy, he's legendary.
He's the god for sure. Also, he's just so versatile in the work that he does. I mean, from Arquise to Vacation to Charlie to now Bianco, they're all so different, but so distinct in their own way. You don't find shades of one and the other, you know, which I think is rare, because sometimes, especially with the amount of shit that's coming out now, it's like you smell something and you're like, I bet you I know. And then oftentimes it's, oh, it's them again. But Carlos, that is definitely not the case.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of niche perfumes that I've smelled. Not that I've smelled everything or even half as much as a lot of the people, but a lot of them, there is a sameness that a lot of people tend to develop with, I've noticed, even not just among the big commercial houses, because that's a given. It's interesting.
Yeah.
So I'm very appreciative.
We definitely did not want to be like anyone else. We wanted to be reflective of us and bring some Chicago Italian attitude to fragrance. But also with that attitude is about having fun and being Italian, everyone's family at one point or another. Everyone becomes family then. When you get close to somebody next, that's how you treat each other. So
I love that aspect of the brand, because I've never seen a fragrance brand that encompasses the Italian and American identity. There's a lot of brands that now incorporate identity, but this is a really fun way to do this. And it expresses who you are and your history in like a very fun and welcoming way. That's not like, this is how it is. It's more just
We don't want to be stuffy or anything, but just.
Yeah, I don't think we can't be anybody other than us. So I think if we're trying to put a brand out there with any sort of other message or theme, I don't think it would feel authentic. And I don't think we would have had the little mild success that we've had so far.
Exactly.
No, definitely.
3 is such a perfect number. I feel like because enough variety, but there's always a tiebreaker.
Yeah.
I'm curious, why this collection of 3? What were you trying to evoke with each of the different scents?
Yeah. So Remix had to be there because that was the first, that was like the baby that was first developed. Ooh. I think it's the most versatile of all of them. So you could wear it anywhere. And I wanted one that was, you could wear it anywhere. It was fun, whether it's a 95 degree day or it's 20 degrees and you're just chilling in the office and you want it to feel like summer. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Everybody's going to like it everywhere you go.
It's very non-offensive from a fragrance standpoint.
Yeah.
It's very adaptable too.
And then we got cherry leather all the way on the other end. And that one came about because I love Tom Ford's Ombre Leather and I love Lost Cherry. So I was like, how do we match these together in our own way? And it wasn't just, it's like mashing up the two things that I like a lot. As I thought about it, I'm like,
understanding why you like those.
It fits the personality of growing up as a kid and going out with my parents and their friends. And everybody's loud and they're dancing and they're having a good time and they got leather jackets, a leather purse, hair's huge, it's spritzed high. And there's always the girls had the sweeter perfume and the guys had the heavier cologne. So it all worked together into that, into cherry leather. And that's how we envisioned that one, is like, that's your going out cologne. That's going to get you noticed a little bit. It's going to hang around a bit longer. And Neroli was our surprise hit.
Yeah.
We didn't really expect it until there was one of those ones where when we started talking with Carlos, we developed it in real time with him during our first conversation, because some of my note lists was, it included basil and blood orange and neroli. Mm-hmm. And he started talking about how great a tomato leaf would be to incorporate that into the scent.
Yeah.
So it would give it this great little metallic tinge and this, and I'm like, yes, let's keep going with that. And we spun up this whole idea based around the tomato leaf aspect of it and being Italian and helping my grandparents in the garden and picking basil leaves, picking tomatoes. So I'm like, now it all works together. Now I got a marketing story I can use. So
very well timed for this current tomato era we're in.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I've been hearing.
It's like the top of the zeitgeist. But it's mostly for home. And there's far less fragrances that involve tomato for body. And I feel like yours embodies it, for lack of a better term, in a literal way, but also a wearable way, which sometimes with scents like that is not always, those two things don't balance each other out.
Yeah, true. That's Christine's magic. Yeah. I can't take credit for that part of it, but she made it work. Christine really made it work.
And just a funny quick story regarding Neroli. So I do a lot of work with people in Italy. And one of the guys that I do a lot of work with, and we're fairly close, he's a big Tom Ford Neroli fan. And as soon as he smelled ours, he said, no, I'm no longer Tom Ford Neroli. And he works out with a guy that works for Givaudan. And so he proudly tell him and show him that this is my Givaudan now, my lean, the Neroli Pomodoro, not Tom Ford Neroli. So yeah, it was interesting. It's a little side note, because it is a little bit more of an Italian, more of an Italian European type formulation. Mm-hmm. So most of the people that I've dealt with there, they like that one. The cherry leather, they like remix too, but cherry leather is a little too much for them a little bit. The leather part, a little bit, not much, but the Neroli has always been a hit with all of them and remix. But just a little side note. Sorry.
When we talk about the notes and the build, I agree with Sable that cherry leather is the one for me, even though it's much more of a her scent. But I keep going back to remix because these notes keep jumping out at me. This isn't the whole build of it, but what am I looking at? Watermelon, spearmint, and ozone. I'm like, how in the hell do you get these things to work together in a way that works? Because I read that and was excited about it, but I was like, we'll see. But you can block them all individually, but they do make up something bigger than just those notes. Where did that idea come from with the melon and the mint and all of that?
I reached back to the 90s again, like Bath and Body Works, like cucumber melon. Like everybody, I remember all the girls having that in school. So it's just like, it was something that was like, oh, I remember that. And just citrus notes in general. So that's where that all came from. And just watermelon is almost like the embodiment of summer in all reality.
Mm.
Ozone is just fun hairspray. That's just how I think of it. I forget what it is. Because it's the little spray. It's like an odor eater spray, but it smells like ozone or something like that. So it's just one of these random little things that popped into my brain. And the way it worked out, Christine's genius put it all together in a way where, like you said, you notice them, but they're not, nothing overtakes anything. Nothing was developed where it was like, it has to smell 100% watermelon, 100% this or 100%. So we were able to avoid some of the technical things where, if you try and go full watermelon, it might smell a little plasticky or candy-ish or anything like that. So we were able to work it in as these little hints rather than going all out on each thing. And I think it worked to our benefit that way.
Yeah, I feel like modern perfumery is, especially when you work with these master perfumers at places like Givaudan, they have a great way of taking your idea and being like, okay, but we're going to make it into perfume.
It was way better than, not that I didn't expect anything great out of it, but it was just better than I had expected when we got our first development samples.
We were excited.
Completely blown away.
And it was also fun to do something so different from what we're used to. You have that nervous energy and you don't know what to expect. And then you open like a kid at Christmas time, you open it up.
Yeah.
We couldn't wait till we got here. We're like two little kids, like we're 8 years old again, sliding down the stairs at Christmas, ripping it open.
Like the box is here. Yeah. The box is here. We got to
rip it open.
Which send had the most amount of mods or versions?
Cherry leather.
Yeah, cherry leather. Definitely. Mm. Yeah.
Cherry leather.
I was just going to ask, actually, that spins off of that one really nicely. How do you know when a fragrance is done?
That Givenchy tells you no more changes.
Fair.
No, cherry leather was, so we got down to our third and fourth modifications on it. And it was really like splitting hairs.
Yeah.
Mm. Really splitting hairs. So we went with the third one over the fourth one.
You're very good at picking that out. I'm not as adept. My smell is not that well tuned with, it's getting better because I'm more practiced at it, obviously. But Nick,
yeah, you're getting
really
good.
He's a foodie too. So he's very, I'm great with wine, booze, bourbon, and pasta and cheese, but wine as well. So I relate a lot to olive oil and wine because there's a lot of different notes and different flavors that come out of at different times, even bourbon and whiskeys as well. So you just have to, get your palate attuned to that. Now I have to get I've gotten better. Like when we're
You made the last, you were the final decision for cherry leather. And he was like, number three, that's the one.
Yeah, well,
we finally, because we kept wearing them. We couldn't decide. We were asking Carlos, and Carlos was almost like, he was even like, I can't even decide.
He was making,
they're both still good. Both. Yeah, he made such a good case for both. But we went through four changes on that one. Remix is the first version that was developed.
Yeah.
That's what we did a couple tweaks, but they weren't as good as the it was just more to satisfy. My brain was like swirling around and I'm like, well, I want to know what it smells like this. So they were gracious enough to try it out for me, but we went with the first one for Remix and Neroli got no changes. Yeah. There was no changes.
Wow.
On it.
Yeah. Neroli was just
from the beginning. It was absolutely perfect. Cafe Amaro started out. It didn't have a coffee and hazelnut note. And then we tweaked it. We asked, can we make it a little deeper, a little sweeter? Yeah. And they gave us that. And I'm like, this is perfect. So that stayed.
That one.
Gardenia hasn't changed.
No, Gardenia was spot on from the beginning. And it's just, we've shown two or three people, right? Three, maybe four. And everyone, they smell like, they just stopped there. Oh my gosh. And so I was like, wow, okay. Hopefully we'll have something here for the spring, a hit for
the
spring.
That's the plan.
Because even though our fragrances are all unisex, but I this is just my opinion. Remix, definitely unisex. Neroli, I think, is unisex as well, but leans, it's just slightly masculine. Cherry leather to me swings more masculine, but I'm very surprised that more women are liking it, wearing it, which is great. It's intended for them to, we wanted them to, but I always just think of it as a little bit more masculine. Aqua Gardenia to me leans more feminine, but I wear it.
It smells awesome.
Yeah. It smells great. Yeah. So I like it. I really like it. And then Cafe Amaro, I think that one is more,
at least one more doing.
But again, they're unisex, so it just depends on what you like. I never realized how many women actually buy guys' colognes.
Oh God, absolutely. Yeah. So many women I knew would wear Old Spice.
Yeah,
and it would smell totally different on them than it would smell like on a man's.
Yeah,
just in chemistry, you know, all the lotions you wear and your products and your laundry detergent.
Yeah.
It's this mishmash of its own.
Right. I know, it's so fascinating because there's days where I'll use a different soap or a different body wash. I'm like, oh, it smells different today. And I'm as much as I've learned so far, obviously I'm far from an expert on the chemical composition of everything, but it's fun to keep learning and keep experiencing what changes and what and how different things react with other chemicals and materials. And
do you find that things pull different on both of you?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Remix smells really good on me. His skin eats it up.
Yeah, it goes away. I just,
Neroli smells the same on both of us, I think.
Yeah.
So does cherry leather, I think.
I think
cherry
so
leather, too. Yeah. Gardenia smells better on him than it does on me. And Cafe Amaro smells, I would say it smells better on you, but
we haven't
got close.
We haven't really.
We haven't done a full comparison.
Yeah. But I smell it. I'm going to smell it on you. Not when you put it on earlier this morning.
Yeah, so. I know. I made it the far dry down phase.
The other thing that I didn't realize that about the fragrance is that they have the opening scent, the middle part of it, and then the dry down. I never realized all that. And so Nick gave me this whole education about, you got to do it this way, you got to do that. Because me, I would just be like a cloud. I would just load off.
Yeah, what's your application technique?
I was told
the side of the neck, each side of the neck, the back of the neck, and then like your fold, like your elbows. You told me put a bit in there.
Yeah.
And then I do put a little bit on a shirt just because summer it's hot. And so mm-hmm. just to make sure all the bases are covered. But yeah, that's before it just used to be just like 10, 15.
Load it up.
Yeah.
It depends. Sometimes I'll load it up. Like if I'm going out and if I want to wear Remix because it's so light, I'll load it up, bring it with me in the car and then spray it before I go into the bar or something.
Oh, wow.
And
you're serious yeah. about it.
Yeah. Why not? It's mine. I got to smell like me, right?
That's true.
But like today I was with a client at their office all day. So I was just two sprays of this Cafe Amaro today. That's it. I'm not trying to choke anybody out in an office environment. Be like, who's that guy?
It can be risky. So,
yeah.
Yeah, that's for sure.
So I vary it up. I don't know. Sometimes I just spray it on my arms. So it's, since I'm Italian and I always talk with my hands, it's just yeah. walking around.
How do you both find working? How is it working with family? Because we get very few sort of family duos, family teams on the show. Yeah. And it's always something that we're curious about when it does.
I yell at it all the time.
Yeah. Usually working with family is a pain in the ass, but we've worked together since 2004 at this point. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just for my family.
It's normal.
Right. Yeah. We each kind of have our role, but then also then there's a blended thing. So there's things that I just let him take the lead on. Like when he was doing the packaging, he would put three or four ideas out. And I'm like, he goes, which one do you like? I'm like, I don't know. I look at it a little bit. Maybe I'm leaning that one. He goes, yeah, I don't know about that one. What about this one? And then he explains what he's doing. Okay, then I get it. And I go, but yeah, but I really, this is what grabs me. And then, so it's collaborative, but he's always leading that. He's leading me down that path. And then when it comes to knocking on doors, cold calling, or just grabbing people, that's what I do. I'm in sales.
That's so, all.
Yeah, that's all him. I'm like, I don't know
how you do it.
But then I get it started. Then when it comes to this note, that note, I'm like, we did.
You just tossed it over.
We were on TV. We did a show, a local show on WGN. Man, I made sure Nick was in the center, lined up with the camera, because really this is his baby, so he should be. And I'm just here as the support guy. And I was a comedic relief guy. So I just throw in some comedy, I'd mess around. And then, but anything technical, what about this? But Nick answered everything. So it was great. And people say, you guys didn't look nervous. I go, what was I to be nervous about? Nick was answering all the questions. I just messed around.
Wait, you're just talking to people.
What part of Chicago are you guys from?
Do you know where O'Hare Airport is?
Yeah.
Okay. We're literally 8 minutes south of there.
Oh, that's so funny. Okay.
You know, like we're 5 minutes outside of the actual city limits.
Yeah. We're that close. And so I grew up in Melrose Park and we live in Fremont. They're right next to each other.
Yeah.
The saying is if you're born in the parks, you usually stay in the parks because it's neighborhood communities and no different than the boroughs. Some of the neighborhood in Brooklyn, you know, between Bensonhurst, Bay Ridge. I'm just familiar with those because I used to go there a lot for work. But I don't know where you guys were at in Brooklyn. You guys like Park Slope or whatever?
We're like North Brooklyn in Williamsburg and Green Point.
Oh, yeah. Nice. We got a lot of good Italian places out there.
Yeah, Berg is very Italian.
Yeah, oh yeah. I never was there, I've heard. But I've met some people before from Howard's Beach, and that was it was pretty interesting. I had a lot of fun in Brooklyn, though, in Bay Ridge. A lot of fun. I messed with those guys so much. It was great. We were ripping on each other. It was so much fun. Anyway, sorry.
Sibyl and I have been talking lately, actually very recently, thanks to a prior guest, that it's always refreshing now that perfume has become much more accessible to both consumers and people who want to get into the business of it, that it is not just relegated to New York or LA. It's cool to see perfume brands come out of the Midwest. And we've actually met one or two others from the Chicago area lately. So being from there myself, it's exciting to see more of it coming out of the Midwest.
Oh, you're from Chicago?
I'm from Rockford, so close enough.
Oh, we'll cut you some slack. Yeah, cool.
I can't claim it when I'm in Illinois, but
Who else is? What other brands did you talk to from Chicago?
There's a new one called Clue Perfumery. Fat. We haven't had on the show yet, but
Before us, all right, we got
it was just scheduling.
They're very nice people.
Yeah, they really are. We did an event with them at Merth Apothecary earlier this year, and they're really cool. Yeah, I like talking to them.
And what's amazing, they actually are making it all. It's pretty creative. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
No, yeah. It's great to see all of the sort of influences and references that really go into any brand, but that go into the ones from lesser known regions, because Clue and your brand couldn't be more different, but we're both equally as excited about both of them.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's how it should be, though.
Yeah. That's what I love.
Be that way. It should be more, We need to put Chicago on the map to say we have some creative stuff going on here too.
Chicago smells good now.
Exactly.
I love this episode.
Yeah, title.
And yeah, I love the tagline. Smell fucking terrific. It's so funny.
Yeah, that was Nick too.
I don't remember how I even really came up with that, but I don't know. It's just one of those late night things. I'm like, that's the tagline. That's it.
And we just had a bocce tournament that we played in, and go figure, bocce. Italian, but yeah. That was where we sponsored our team, and that's what was on the back of the shirt. It smelled fucking terrific. It was great. Oh,
that's
cool.
That's awesome.
That's probably the best tagline we've heard on this show in our 4 years.
I think the part of the thing is just keep it simple. There's so many brands, not just in fragrance, but brands in general, they pontificate and then they go on, and there's all these words, and they're trying to hit all these different points. And we're just here to make people smell good and have some fun doing it. That's really what it is. It's a business and we're doing it to make money and enjoy ourselves, but the enjoyment is like everybody else smelling it and seeing what their reactions are and what they get out of it. Because me, Neroli Pomodoro, is growing up in my grandparents' garden and helping them, and for other people they have a different memory associated that pops up and they smell it. So it's fun to hear all those stories. That's really what it is.
And it's
really about most of that, just
how it evokes a memory and how
people
exactly, and how Remix, I don't know, Sable, I think you said it reminds you of CK1, or
the 90s aquatic scents for sure.
And everyone too, we hear that so often. So it's like, it's nice to know that, hey, we're bringing that, this is more like a modern take on it.
Yeah.
And because Calvin Klein's Calvin Klein, they're phenomenal. But we're just a little guy trying to do a little twist on it. That's all.
The twist is twisting. And we are really excited to see your spring launch and especially your upcoming fall launch of 2025. Yeah. Thank you both for coming on. This has been such a lovely chat. We are really in love with the collection as it stands and really excited about what is to come. So great. Please keep us posted. And if you have any of those samples, send them over.
They're so sweet.
They're so sweet. They're so funny. Oh my God.
I really, really want that coffee scent.
Honestly, I'm not joking.
Give me the sample. The whole time we were talking to them and he was like, yeah, we work in the food industry. We could have done an olive oil. We could have done a pasta. I was like, make an olive oil fragrance, please.
I thought the same thing.
Thank you. I was like, someone needs to make an olive scent. We said this to Richard Christensen from Flamingo Estate.
We're giving away too many ideas.
I know. But now it's off to the races. Whoever should make an olive scent first.
Exactly.
May the best one win. The first one.
We should just link with Carlos and do the goddamn olive scent ourselves.
But I remember getting a fancy olive oil, I think from the Melon & Goetz event I went to weeks ago for their tomato scent. And they sent everybody home with a nice bag of stuff. There was carbone sauce. There was a bottle of Brightland olive oil. And what was interesting, it's a basil-based olive oil. So it has that like very herbaceous, basil-y aroma to it. Plus, obviously, the smell of olive oil. And it's so good. I'm like, this needs to be a scent. You will smell like a pizza if you wear this as it is, but someone needs to do something with basil and olive oil because it's...
I don't know. I think basil and olive would be a gorgeous scent, pizza or not.
Yeah, but it's so good. Maybe it's some cognitive bias, but I feel like I keep seeing little hints of this could be olive and this could be an olive scent.
Yeah, maybe Bianco will do our olive scent after their Amaro scent, which sounds incredible.
So excited for that. Bring it on.
Amaro coffee hazelnut, come on.
I do feel like coffee has yet to punch through the way tomato has.
Yeah.
There's been like little bits of coffee scents here and there, but I'm waiting for
it. It seems so obvious to me.
Right? Yeah. That's the thing. That's the weird thing. I'm like, this seemed obvious 2 years ago. Like, why is it still?
Thank you. No, totally.
The hell?
Yeah.
Carpenter, where's your shirt? I forgot to ask them like where we can find them, but please check out Bianco Profumo. Their Instagram. I think it's literally just Bianco Profumo. That's their Instagram. I think my personal rec is Cherry Leather. I think mine too.
Yeah. It's a very Sable scent, but you can't beat it, man.
Yeah. And if you're into more vegetal stuff or fresher herbaceous, definitely give Neroli Pomodoro a sniff. Remix is also really lovely.
It's hard to choose.
It is hard to choose. They're $125 for 50 mls. I was surprised that it wasn't more expensive.
I'm not going to question it,
but find us at our website, smellyoulater.live. You can find our merch. You can leave us a voice note at our hotline. Follow us on Instagram. We're at smellyoulater.np3. I'm at Sabletooth Tigra.
I'm at Tynan Buck, and until next time, we will smell you later.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.